Well, good morning and happy Easter. He is risen. Christ is risen indeed. I'm so glad that you could join us this morning. This is such an important morning for us who believe in Jesus to celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection and the promise of everlasting life in his name. I'd like to start by reading Matthew's account of the resurrection from Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. You see, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." You know, this is just such good news for us today. And our Christian faith is centered, it's based on this event. We have an event-based faith. At its core, we find not a good idea, not a good philosophy, not even a good person, although Jesus and his teachings are all of that. The central truth of the gospel is good news. And that's what the word gospel means, good news. News is the accurate retelling of an event, and the event that defines our faith is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it played out like any good, real news story should. The first people to preach the gospel were the women who discovered the empty tomb. Immediately, like good reporters breaking a developing story, they ran to report that news to the others. The first hearers of this good news didn't believe it. They had to find out for themselves. They ran to the tomb to confirm the news by seeing the evidence for themselves. Why? Because Christianity is an event-based faith, and so it matters that the reported events actually occurred. And then according to all four of the Gospels and the book of Acts and in the book of 1 Corinthians, Jesus was seen on at least a dozen different occasions by multiple people, including the apostles, his brother James, and random people walking down the road, and hundreds of others. They witnessed and reported that he ate food, that he touched them and interacted with them in very real ways that only a real person could. All of this evidence was compiled and corroborated and confirmed by multiple sources before it was recorded for future generations as a factual historical event. This is what we call the good news, the gospel. And it is so accurately summed up in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul says, "What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." The gospel of Jesus has faced many challenges throughout the centuries. The first challenge to the gospel, it wasn't an alternative idea. a better philosophy or the contradiction of an argument, because none of those can stand up to the extraordinary event that was witnessed by hundreds of people over multiple weeks. The first challenge to the gospel was the planting of fake news to compete with the real news. According to Matthew's account, the Roman soldiers who had been guarding Jesus' tomb were bribed to spread the fake news story. In Matthew 28, continuing on at verse 11 through 15, we read this: "While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. And when the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day." Now, why did they do that? It's a standard political tactic that if you can't refute someone's claim, then you got to muddy the waters and stir up other stories. And that's what we call fake news. Fake news has been a huge topic of conversation recently. But fake news really isn't new at all. It's been around following on the heels of real news since the beginning. We could go clear back to Genesis chapter 3, and we see the serpent tempting Eve with fake news. He took what God had really said and twisted it just enough to make her doubt the reality of what God said. And it's how the resurrection was challenged within hours of it occurring. If the gospel ever loses its power in a person or in a church or even in a country, a culture, it would never be because someone offers a better idea or a better philosophy, because there aren't any. The only way that the gospel is in danger of losing its impact is when we drift away from the central story for lesser stories, for fake news, whether real or not. For instance, when the resurrection becomes just a metaphor for renewal, instead of keeping it anchored in time and space as a real event, we strip it of its uniqueness. And with that, we strip it of its power to change lives. The Apostle Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 15, and he says, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith, and you are still in your sins." Now that's not good news, is it? But Paul says in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, and this means that your sins are forgiven. This means that you can be reconciled to God." Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 says, "For by that one offering, he, Jesus, forever made perfect those who are being made holy." And in Ephesians 1, we read, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." It's not fake news. It's real news. It's the truth. It is our living hope. It is our eternal hope. It was the central part of the teachings of the early church. The sermons that we read in the book of Acts revolve around the certainty of the resurrection. It was this unshakable belief in the resurrection that those first believers died proclaiming. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is the seal of the gospel. On it hangs all the promises of sins forgiven, lives restored, hearts mended, relationships reconciled, and eternal life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is our guarantee of all the promises of God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the best news that I could ever give to you. My prayer for you today, this Easter Sunday, is that you might receive the free gift of God that is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that real life, abundant life, is found in Him, because only the truth can set you free. Would you pray with me right now? Almighty God, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness in Jesus' name. And I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. Help me to turn away from my life that I have been living and turn towards you and allow you to run my life. Would you come into my life and make me new? I don't understand it all, but I trust in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, at the end of the New Testament is a small book called 1 John. And at the end of 1 John in chapter 5, we read these verses. It says, "Whoever has the Son, Jesus, has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe, so that you may know that you have eternal life." God doesn't want us to be guessing of whether we have eternal life or not. He wants us to know for certain that in Jesus Christ we have eternal life forever and amen. Happy Easter to you. May God bless you this day and always.